I didn't like it at first, but I've since gotten used to it. Actually, JoJo and I the other day weren't recording, but we both happened to have mics and headphones in. And then we kept having a conversation into the mics, even though we could see each other.
Yeah, we just had a true conversation. It was the closest it comes to like telepathy.
Yeah.
Because it was really just thinking thoughts into the other person's brain.
Yeah, I feel like you can just like, it's very engaging when you have the headsets on. But this is cool too. Yeah. I like this a lot.
So we weren't recording. We were having, I thought, a pretty interesting conversation. I think one of the subjects du jour is what's coming up in Myrtle Beach for you.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's one of the biggest opportunities I've maybe ever had. I mean, the idea of playing in a PGA Tour event personally is just crazy for me. Definitely nervous even like thinking about it now, which is something I think I'm going to have to overcome throughout the first, like I'll get settled into the round, but I think even just thinking about the first tee shot and getting into the round, I'm getting a little bit like adrenaline.
So zooming out, there's a new PGA Tour event in Myrtle Beach, and the powers that be have one spot for a sponsor's exemption,
right,
of which 15 people are going to compete for, 10 of which are not professional golfers,
right,
but they are good golfers like yourself, content creators, 5 of which are mini tour players.
Right.
So
nailed it.
So the 5 mini tour players, that's your competition. Or is any of the 10 going to be able to beat you?
Yeah, I mean, Peter Finch can play really good. George Brian can get hot. Micah, Fat Perez, if he has a really good day.
He's going to shoot 69 from those
I
tees?
I think you got to shoot.
You got to shoot lower than that.
65?
If you want to be safe.
It's like a Monday qualifier.
It just depends. It's such a limited field. Everybody's going to feel those nerves though.
But so there's only 5 mini tour players.
Right. But whereas, I'm saying on our end, I feel like we have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going to be nervous regardless. But I feel like on our end, we have truly nothing to lose. And maybe it will help.
So you were saying that, we were talking about press. Just a moment ago, and you were talking about this article that Golf Digest wrote about this happening. This is a revolutionary concept, right? That sort of, you know, content creators could potentially enter into a PGA Tour event, which is kind of wild. I mean, it'd be like getting into college without necessarily wanting the degree.
Yeah.
You don't aspire to be a tour player, right?
Don't at all. No.
Not even at all.
Not even in the slightest. I think. But my game's gotten a lot better recently.
I would say I agree.
And I feel like there's a chance that I play. And I believe in myself. There's a chance I go out there and shoot 66, 65, just have a great day. But yeah, the Golf Digest article, definitely interesting. Not sure how to comment on that one. It's a wild one. I don't know who wrote it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's one person probably writing this article, right?
Yeah.
It's their opinion on the whole thing. And you know, when you're on the forefront of anything, I feel like you're gonna get criticized. And at the end of the day, it's like, this is a wonderful way for the Myrtle Beach Classic to get eyeballs.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're,
I mean, we're talking about it.
Yeah. And they're including 5 mini tour guys that could also have their life changed. So it's not like it's just like us YouTubers, you know. Yeah. They still included 5 mini tour people, and I just think it's a wonderful play. Of course, everyone's going to have their opinion on it.
But the closing piece of this article in Golf Digest was pretty snappy.
It was. It definitely was. I saw. Well, it's funny because I didn't read it.
I was about to say, it's not like I see you reading Golf Digest regularly.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever read one. But I don't read a ton on just in general. But
like what do you mean?
I'm not like a big like diving into articles and stuff. I like to read about what's happening.
Okay.
But not like articles, personal art. I don't like just about the golf space. Usually won't read too much about that. But I got sent the article a lot by people. And
like
I
friends
saw it.
Or like
just
frenemies.
A bunch of just, you know, random people DM'd me.
And you're in your DMs. You're reading your
DMs. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Here and there. Not all of them, but I try and like see what's going on for sure. And yeah, I got sent the article, and I also saw it on Mac Boucher's. I saw it on Peter Finch's story. A lot of the guys, you know, that read the article posted about it and wanted to like talk about it. And yeah, it just, the last phrase was like, just, you know, a little harsh, and it's fine. Like, I just, it's just part of it.
The phrase in question was, do we want to try and quote it exactly, or do
it was, it was around it? the lines of, all you got to do is clear, or ever, all you got to do is say like and subscribe, and you'll have a chance to play in a PGA Tour event or something. Like, it's that easy,
yeah,
to like build a following, or it's that easy to film YouTube videos.
Yeah, I think they left out the part about you also have to be like really, really, really good at golf. I mean, you know, Finch has been trying to play in the Open for years.
Right. Finch is a good golfer. He's a great golfer. Ball striker. A lot of George Bryan, like, yeah. Luke Kwan. These are not just your, yeah, Luke Kwan's in it. These are not just your average like guys. Like, George Bryan and Luke Kwan are this much below tour level golfers.
Well, George has played,
George
in a tour
George played in a tour.
Made
George,
a cut. In a
George
tour
100%
tournament.
Strikes it as good as a tour pro. Any of the guys on the range, George is striking it just as good.
On some level, do you think maybe a step deeper here is like digest just sort of every day losing eyeballs and market share to the individuals that make up the golf community as far as content's concerned, like yourself?
I mean, yeah, like that's just usually, yeah, it's hard for me to say exactly
I mean, fire back, you know, like, yeah. I don't know, all you need, like, because I think, I really zoom out here, and I think, you know, like, you and I have ostensibly a very similar role, right, in the golf world. I saw it differently, though, when I was growing up. Like, there was, you know, 12 channels,
yeah,
where you could read about what you loved,
right,
which was golf, right? And you know, you could, there was sort of these like kind of like buildings, quote unquote, that had large businesses behind them and advertisers, and it was really like like big and rigid the way media was transmitted.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's kind of like, and we started talking about this subject because we were talking about comments.
Right.
And how, you know, like all the comments you got when, you know, when you split from Good and stuff like that. And that's not what we're going to talk about today necessarily, but it's like this idea of like democracy around who can say what, when. It sort of like really makes everyone's voice kind of equal, whether they're an unknown writer for Golf Digest who doesn't show their face necessarily. I don't know who wrote it exactly.
I have no idea, yeah.
But you're out there showing your face. You're out there doing something.
That's the thing. Like, it's just too easy. Like, you can just write anything about anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's no consequence for saying, you know, all you got to do is do this and you're going to be in a PGA Tour event. Like, you can say it as condescending as you want and as, you know, harsh, whatever, for lack of words, but and there's no, you know, there's no one to correct you on that.
See, I really think this,
but that's social
Beach
media
thing
in general, because like you can comment whatever you want, like,
exactly.
They could write the same thing but in a different form through social media. Like, it can be on an article or it can be in a comment, it's all the same thing. But yeah, it's, you know, I kind of expected it though, like before this was even announced. Like, I can feel out the reactions of people, just because growing up with golf and like seeing how the game's advancing, you can kind of see what's gonna get people fired up.
Yeah.
And I think the smartest thing for this Myrtle Beach Classic was including the 5 mini tour guys.
They had to.
Because you're giving us 10 content creators a wonderful chance, but you're giving these 5 guys a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like,
they should be.
It's one day. They should beat me.
They should.
Because they put their grinding every day for this moment. They're probably practicing right now as we speak.
Do you know these guys, the 5?
I don't. I know a couple of the names.
They must have experience in Monday, like Monday qualifying.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how they, like, how were they the ones selected for this? Because,
yeah,
like, this is,
I want to go. You know what I want to do? I want to go.
You want to go and just
and I want to tell the big story.
Just meet everybody.
I don't want to tell. There's no, I'm not going to play. I'll shoot 85 and everyone will be like, you wasted one of the wasted spots. Like I was the trash before we even got to the dumpster. But
right.
Like, I would like to just document the entire concept of this, because it actually is, from a media standpoint, it actually is a story, right? Like, we're talking about this thing. I have been to Myrtle Beach, I think.
We did a Mad Scramble tour
yeah,
stop.
We did a Mad Scramble. No one came.
It was a smaller one.
It was a smaller one because it's like a real tourist kind of golf destination. Anyway, besides the point. But, you know, like I also don't really get too invested in PGA Tour events. Like, I think I watched 6 minutes of the Genesis and I was like, wow, it's just as boring as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, hot take, but it's the way I feel.
But this excites you.
This gets me excited because it's like, hang on a second, we're willing to try something differently.
Yeah.
You know, and as Liv has like,
and this is one spot in the PGA Tour event. Now that is taking away a potential spot for somebody else. Give her like, this is an off, this is what do they call it when the another event's happening at the same time?
It's an off week PGA Tour event.
It's like, so it's like a secondary PGA Tour event on the same week another one's being played. So it's not as big as
the runt.
Exactly. But
it's runt in the lineup.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, it's really cool. I think it's a new PGA Tour event.
Myrtle Beach Classic. Should do this for every event because at the end of the day, right, the goal is entertainment and the goal is funding a local charity, right? And the goal is to increase awareness around the game of golf. And so if it really is taking away a spot for a blue-collar working man golfer, just add another spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it works out, just add another spot.
Right.
Like, bring them in. They already do Wednesday pro-ams.
Right.
Right? Like, I think this is going to be really exciting. I can't wait to see how it turns out.
No idea what to expect. George is playing great. Really good golf. I mean, the guy doesn't miss a shot. It's like, even just trying to beat George is a task within itself.
Backing up a second, do you even realize, like, how much had to change for this to even be an idea that got through the cheese grater of good ideas?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is something where...
It's just where YouTube golf has progressed to.
Yeah.
And it's now reached a point where it's viewed a little bit different. And I think it's taken the time and the maturity of it to now... And it's still not there. Like, we're still, you know... raking down this barrier, raking, like pushing away, doing this. And, I'm not a person that just wants to break down every barrier of golf. Like, I think there's beautiful things about golf that, you know, are the way it should be. And that's what it was built on. But there are certain things, which the way everything's evolving with social media, that could progress. And, I just think it's this crazy opportunity, which I would have never thought could possibly happen 2 years ago or a year ago.
I really think, like, we should, I think that'd be an interesting story, is to go there and be like, it's basically a breaking series.
Yeah, go and tell, as you said, the overarching.
You should
story.
Do it.
The
you
overarching
should, you
story.
You should cover
just
it.
Like, hey, like,
and I
we
think
could,
it would be great.
We could grab some footage from everybody who's going to be there. We could shoot the overall thing.
Well, you're a wonderful storyteller.
Thank you.
Like, that is your strong suit.
Yeah, we could 100%. We could do voiceover.
You said that like your short game isn't your strong.
Yeah,
suit.
I would say.
Nah, we'll get to that in a second. But actually, I'm curious to know, like, why isn't anyone from Good Good at this, or why isn't Garrett here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking
I didn't
maybe.
Really, I, so. Quan, technically, I think he's a part of Good Good.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure all the ins and outs, but he's there.
He thinks.
Yeah.
He thinks he's...
But he's there.
He hasn't seen any of the videos.
You don't...
I'm saying, like, officially, like, I don't know how it's all worked out there. But
I don't
like,
even know. He might not even know.
Yeah.
You should ask him.
Yeah. But no, that is, you know.
I was thinking perhaps, like, you know, because I know you guys just did a match and you won. I was thinking that there was like another spot where it was like only going to be.
I see. They watched the finale and they picked one of you.
Yeah. No. I wonder. Yeah. I bet Garrett would have gone for sure if he was. He probably was invited. Maybe he was busy.
Yeah.
You know, he's traveling all the time. You just never know what pops up. But
right.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't play. I think Garrett's like really out of everybody in Good Good. You know, he's the one that Brad Dahlke's good.
Yeah.
But Garrett definitely, like, he has a chance. Like, you got to go. I mean, you got to shoot 65. That's the reality. Somebody's going to shoot 65.
Here's the reason why I back you is because I actually have a sample size on this. Since we last had you on the podcast, you came with us to New York for the craziest 24 hours of golf in all of our lives. And we played 9 holes at Van Cortlandt.
Mm-hmm.
And we did video where it was 4 golfers versus 100 golfers. And it was 4 scratch golfers, you and a couple friends. Who were plus or scratch handicaps. And I think some of them were former mini tour players, had like grinded in the past. And the difference like they were great golfers and they hit great shots, but the nerves they were feeling, I feel like you've been uniquely trained for this kind of competitive environment in a way you don't even realize.
Yeah.
Over so the last several that's years. So funny you bring that up, because I was just recently thinking about that Van Cortlandt meetup with you guys. That was the most calm I've ever been in my like whole life. I never once that entire night got my heart rate up, and I don't know how. But I was thinking to myself, so this Good Good Live event just happened where there's 2,500 people there. And I'm thinking to myself before this event, I'm like, you know, you got like, you just did this with Random Golf Club and Eric and everyone. Like you play in front of 100 people, which is plenty, and you were fine. Like, you know, it's different playing in front of people. It just is. Like, you can't recreate it. It's like a different type of energy. But I got to say, when I got to that Good Good Live event, like, very nervous. Like the first tee shot, the announcement, the build up. I think it's the build up which brings the adrenaline and, you know, that feeling. It's the build up, it's the magnitude of it. But yeah, I definitely like was amped for that. Like just absolutely amped. First tee, 2,000 people on the tee box waiting for us to tee off.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
What's the format for that?
So Garrett, it was 2-man teams, scrambles. So 2-man scramble teams. Bunch of just content creators, but Garrett and I played on the same team together, and we played really good. We could have won it, but we hit 2 balls OB on our third hole together as a scramble, snapped them OB over the fence back to back.
Who teed off first?
He did. He snapped it, and then I was like, oh boy, I gotta get this in play, and snapped it. It was a tight tee shot though. It was really tight. It was unfortunate. We made bogey, but we played really good. Garrett and I always play good together.
Yeah.
So it was, but yeah, that,
how many holes
that back to that, it was just, I'm telling you, I know I'm gonna feel some nerves. I can already like accept it, and I hope I can get to that place that you're describing, because I was so calm in that environment. I loved it. It was a great meetup.
Yeah,
you guys did a great job.
What, so yeah, going back, like, you know, when we never really recapped that.
No, we didn't,
you know. But you know, so Grant, you came out to New York. We played at the oldest public golf course in the country,
right?
We asked if you and 3 other plus handicap golfers could beat 100 random golfers. Who knows what handicaps they are?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think your odds were going into this?
I thought they were really high. Like, not really high. I knew the 100 golfers were going to birdie every hole in eagle. But the course was so gettable for us. And if it's 4 really good golfers, you should birdie every hole. If it's 4 and you're driving it right next to the green. But I think, you know, my buddy Justin I was with, I knew him from growing up. And then 2 other guys, like, visibly very, like, it's just different playing in front of 100 people with cameras, too. Like, you just don't.
They were nervous.
Definitely. Like,
they
it just took them
really
a couple holes.
They didn't hit really many good tee
shots. It took them a couple holes to get settled. And I knew that I was going to have to play good during that, like, phase where everybody was getting used to it. But no, I thought we had a really good chance. I just don't think we actually played that good.
Yeah, at the end, it came down. I think we pushed every hole, and it came down to 6, was a short par 4.
Yeah.
I think the 100 drove the green and made a putt, and you guys needed to chip in, I think.
Right. I mean, what I remember from that night was Niall. Oh my gosh.
Niall.
So, Niall, if you're watching this, you're the man.
He is.
He's, do you know we brought Niall to Bandon?
I heard about that. When's that? Is that video?
We're doing the voiceover now. Yeah, Niall was part of our Breaking Bandon.
I'm watching that.
It was hilarious.
I got it. I have to see Niall. Like, I heard
so
it like
funny.
I heard some really good stuff happen in that video. Like, all came down.
Yeah,
it was very close.
Yeah, he had a great round. You know, and he brought the. I mean, you know, he also like was built for it. I think he was wearing. I mean, it was like in the high 50s, and he was just wearing a golf polo most of the day.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know who Niall is, he is. How would you describe Niall? He's from. The UK?
Ireland.
Ireland.
Yeah.
He's from Ireland. Oh, man, he had his accent, his trash talk.
Yeah.
His persona. It was like it was a whole nother level of trash talk, because I laughed at everything he said, and he laughed just as hard at his own jokes.
Yeah.
So it was just this like, because like some people like chirp and it's like not that funny.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. But Niall would say everything he said, I was like, dude, this guy is gold.
Yeah.
And my goal from there on out was to get him on a Bob Does Sports video. I was trying hard, and I know he will, but he lives up in New York, and like we've texted back and forth a little bit, but gosh, he was, that is like, I spotted him and I'm like, that guy could blow up on social media. He's hilarious.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I think he has like the little you know, the little.
You know, there is something about like the spark. UK, like the gift of gab there is like the quips, the like quick statements, like the funny ways
witty.
Of talking.
It's quick.
The wit.
It's
yeah.
quick and witty, and they're like, they're trash talk. They he said there's like this thing that they do where they'll go out to the bar or whatever, and they just talk trash. They have, it's like an hour of just talking trash, and like anything's off the table, they say. So they all just like, it's a trash talking contest, and I think that's how he got so good.
Interesting.
So it's an hour that you can say anything. No one can get offended.
And this is like an organized event, or this
it's,
is
there's
just...
a name for it. And he said the name, and it was hilarious. And I forget the name of this organized hour long trash talking event.
And
it's
this
like
was
a debate.
This was in Ireland, do you think?
Yeah, basically, or? You like you get with your buddies and you say nobody can get offended. We are going to trash talk each other for the next hour, and there is nothing.
Here's would you say that's a safe space or not a safe space?
I mean, it depends who you are.
The safest, dangerous place.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put myself there.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of the country club adjacent, like back off challenge. Like it's all in good fun.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and I think you probably know there's like a line you don't cross. Deep down, you're like
maybe. Maybe. Well, yeah, you can say Niall. Apparently you can say anything there. I kind of want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, Niall's yeah. quick. You'd have to be
yeah,
quick,
quick
like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a student of the whatever game this is called.
The Gift of Gab.
Yeah.
The Banter Olympics.
Gosh, it yeah. was so good. If you guys watch that 4 vs. 100 and just listen to the chirping in the background. Just
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I need to like watch it again. Wow. Yeah. All right, folks, pardon the interruption, but if you happen to be hiring, I'm looking for a job. No, I'm kidding. This is Eric, founder of Random Golf Club. If you're here for Grant, good to see you. Thanks for coming. And if you're looking for some help with your small business, please check out LinkedIn Jobs. It has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and, most importantly, for free. I personally have used LinkedIn Jobs finding great team members. It's not just another job board. It has a vast network of more than a billion. More than a billion?
Seems impossible.
That's like three Americas.
Yeah, all looking for jobs.
And that makes it the best place to hire. So it's easy when you have this many qualified candidates. In fact, 80% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. So please post your job for free at linkedin.com/EAL show. That's linkedin.com/EAL show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Head over there now.
We want to do it again.
I'd love to do it again.
We're not sure who we're going to do it with. Who would you want to do it again with? Like, if you wanted to actually win against 100 or do your best, who would be your dream team?
Dream team?
Yeah, like semi-achievable, I guess. I guess now you could text John Rahm.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get John out there. no, he probably would come. If it was in Arizona, he'd be there.
Miles Teller.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd probably get like George and Wes. They're just such good golfers. George, Wes, Micah. I would really like Micah to just hit the drives. I think Micah's such like a powerful player, and like you get him to go off the tee first.
Yeah.
Just rip the drive, and then you got George and Wes. It's like you can't. From there, it's like Wesley's just too good, makes every putt.
If we're
burning every hole.
If yeah. we did a meetup in Myrtle, like if we went out and did this and like documented this, because George will be there, right?
Yeah, I wonder if we could make that happen.
I wonder if we could do another 4 vs. 100.
Oh, we should totally do that.
In Myrtle with the
but
Brian Rose.
Either way, I think you should come out and figure out a way to like, because I think it's going to have enough, when everybody's filming their point of view,
yeah.
so everybody's going to post their round, like my point of view, Micah. Fat Perez, Luke yeah. Juan. Everybody's going to have their own YouTube.
But if
video
we do like
out.
A bracket almost where we're like, all right, folks, here's like, if we're almost, if we have like a booth in some capacity where, you know, like in hindsight.
Yeah.
Kind of like, here's the highlights.
See, here's, I almost see it of like, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
And the first half of it is obviously this, but then you got to follow the guy to the actual tournament,
yeah.
whoever it is.
Yeah.
And if it's some random mini tour guy, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, if it's one of them.
I mean, it never hurts. You know, you guys coming out and putting more eyeballs on it and
yeah.
like talking more about it, it's never a bad thing. I think it's going to be so cool. I'm trying to get ready.
Yeah.
There's like this degree, right? Like right now, I'm trying to figure out it's like tournament mode where you're trying to figure out a shot shape to rely on. And like every round I play now, I'm thinking like, ooh, like I can't do that. And yeah. I need to figure out that. And like,
what is that? The
just feelings in my swing and like the big miss. I'm like, ooh, let's tone that right. down. Like the big, whether it's a big right, weak right miss or it's like a left miss. It's like even hitting putts on my line, the short putts, and making sure they're rolling on my line. Like just all those little things you're trying to really dial in before something like this.
Yeah.
You got to take it serious.
What are you gonna wear? Do you know? Do you think about that yet? You don't care.
Probably all black.
Hell yeah.
Serious.
I like that.
Joggers or normal?
Probably these new pants.
Those new Primo pants.
New Primo pants. Yeah. Probably wear these blacked out. Yeah, blacked out outfit.
That's kind of got Phil energy.
Yeah, I'm coming. I want to.
Do you hear that? Do people ever call you Young Phil or anything?
They do. Yeah, that would be. That's a dream collab. Phil.
You versus Whoa. Phil.
You could do that.
We were talking about this on the phone the other night.
Yeah.
Like how much if Phil wanted to do a bet with you, like 9-hole straight up.
Yeah.
Like, is there a number you would say no to?
For gambling. Well, the thing, I don't really ever gamble. I don't really gamble with my buddies much on the course. I mean, we'll do like, you know, $100 and we'll do 20-20-20 Nassau or whatever. Front nine, back nine overall.
What if Phil was like, I only pay for five digits?
Then...
Like $10,000, I guess that's...
Yeah, if I have Phil, for sure.
Then you think you could win?
Well, that's... There would definitely be some... Like, Phil's a better golfer. So, what...
I mean, it depends on the day.
Yeah, I mean...
It definitely depends on the day. I think anybody can get hot, but, like, most of the time...
I mean, I also think Phil is a great golfer. But, like, I would be remiss... if I didn't think that you could take on Phil in a match play environment, possibly.
It would take some good golf. Because you got to realize, these guys are different animals when it's just playing for fun. And it's like, he would treat this YouTube video as for fun.
Oh, right.
Relaxed.
The golf course gets bigger.
It's just, he's swinging free. And he's got the trash talk going. He's mic'd up. He's going to shoot way under par. And he's going to make everything.
What do you think he's doing through nine?
Oh, these guys cruise at 4 or 5 under. Like, they just cruise. Like, Wesley, every time we film a YouTube video, he's shooting 3, 4, 5 under every single time. But you get into the Monday qualifier with him, he still played good, but the intensity just increases. It's more serious. It's not as free-flowing. And then they don't drop as much.
And it's not the course quality.
It's not the... Yeah, no, it's nothing to do with the course. It's the overall vibe of the, like, a tournament setting is quiet. It's intense. You're thinking more about each shot. A YouTube video, you're having fun with your boys, and you're just free flowing. Everything's net. Like, it's just...
There's no people watching.
No people watching.
There's no big deal. It's not... Your career isn't on the line. It's just a singular bet.
Right.
That is unrelated to everything else your life is pointed towards.
Right. No, but I would, for sure, if Phil wanted to put up $10,000. It's a one... You know, it's a big video.
You could get someone to stake you.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, that'd be interesting. If you put it out to the community and you're like, put in a dollar,
crowdfund a match against Phil.
I'll say, guys, I need some money. I got a match against Phil coming up. Really need to be spotted.
I heard this story about a guy in LA who he was a member at a golf course that had the LPGA playing there, and he made an offhanded comment. And he's like, I could beat any one of these girls, and so some members didn't agree with him, and they said, fine. We'll pick one. What do you want to wager? And he said, I'll do $75,000.
For one match?
One match.
And so they backed the girl?
Yes. They staked the girl. And I can't remember who it was, but she absolutely throttled him. Like, he didn't even have a chance.
Yeah.
He, like, went one under, and she was, like, six under, you know? And then he wanted to, like, play again, you know, because he felt like he could, you know... redeem himself.
Right.
Did he put more money in?
He did. And then he lost that.
Oh my
gosh. And you know, really, I think it was like a lesson in, like, you know, what and it maybe is a lesson in what you're talking about, in the sense of, like, hey, these people go out in a tournament environment and they're going to shoot two under. That has a, like, you know, a transaction rate during an off round match into being six under.
Yeah.
Right. There's more room there.
I've never thought of that concept, though. Like, I would just be really curious if I went and played an LPGA event playing from the same tees, 60, you know, six.
Well, she played from his tees in this story, right?
Right.
Which is, it's not a long course.
Well, those girls are so good. They're unbelievably incredible. Every single one of those girls. Like, I've watched MB Park hit balls. Like, it was a stripe show. Robot. Oh, yeah. They're all so, like,
with
never
the driver,
want to discredit. Yeah, never want to discredit anything. But I feel like I would for sure have a way better chance of, like, playing good and making the cut.
Now, is this
yardage.
A video that could or should get made?
That is such, like, that's really intriguing because I've never just sat down and thought about this much. But, like, I would just wonder, you know, I wonder what the yardage, the average yardage is for an LPGA event.
You know what you could do? What if you did this? Since you're a partner with Arcos, mm-hmm. what if you took Arcos data from a PGA, from an LPGA event and said, all right, T10, this is exactly where their balls went and this is what their score is. I'm going to play them in ghost mode.
Oh my gosh, yes. And so it would basically tell me.
So you know exactly what you have to do on each hole. You
right.
need to come in at 3 under. This is the course. You know, I'm going to play it the day
the
after they
thing.
Play it.
Where are the tees? Like, that's
you're,
the biggest
you're playing
thing
exactly
for me.
Where
yeah,
they're
just
playing.
Just play their layout.
Right.
He's saying you could play a LPGA golf course the day after the championship.
Gotcha.
The tournament.
Rip down to Aviara after the Kia.
Wow.
And just take
that's
the Arcos
great
data.
Great idea.
And you could actually, it actually, you could bring in, like, I'm almost seeing here, like it's almost more of a science experiment, like a biology experiment.
It is, and
you
it's
could,
like.
You could extract all the data from all the players, and you could be like, on this hole, I had the longest drive.
Well, what I would do, so I have a cut series on my main channel where I try and, like, compare myself. If I started, you know, at this number, would I make the cut? And I feel like that's somewhat similar to what I'd want to do with that is, like, take the four rounds. Play four rounds there.
Ooh.
Play four.
Whoa.
Play all four.
Guys,
from their teams.
My guy's been looking at average view duration of his YouTube videos.
Yeah.
He's like, if they were 8 hours long,
yeah,
you're
well,
trying
I mean,
to do
this
an
will
extended
be 8 hours.
Edition.
This will be an 8 hour long video.
It'd be sick if you got, like, Savarikas to commentate.
Yeah. Well, no, you could condense, like, like the first couple rounds would be maybe condensed really quick.
Yeah.
It'd be like shot, commentating.
Yeah.
And then the final round would be a slowed down, more normal version.
And you're in
of
the hunt,
video.
Obviously.
I'm in the hunt.
In middle
then.
Of the pack, at least.
Hopefully I'm a couple under, you know, could be 8 under. You don't know. If I'm playing and I'm going after greens and two and, you know, going after par fours, you don't
yeah.
know. But that would definitely itch the brain.
So we're here, we're on the patio here at Cabot Citrus.
Yep.
In Citrus Farms.
Citrus Farms, Cabot Citrus Farms in Brooksville, Florida. If you've heard tractors and golf carts and the wind occasionally.
No sirens, though.
That's not yet.
Yeah.
No golf balls have hit us
but,
yet.
But yeah, we're up here place. At the former site of Worldwoods, if you never made it there, which I never had. That was a bucket list for me that I never was able to get there. You gotta hit your bucket list earlier, or else it'll go away. But you know, I'm just curious to know, like, going where we were just talking about this LPGA layouts, this tournament sites. Like, do you think what we played today is harder? Certainly the yardage was actually similar. I think we played 6,700 today. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think this course plays harder than the average kind of LPGA tour course?
It's hard to say because I had 6 birdies today. And I felt like it was a very, very friendly yardage. Just
yeah.
with par fives. Like, every single par five I felt I was going to birdie. Just because I knew I could go after the green.
Yeah.
If I hit a good drive, which that's what hurt me on that one par five, I bogeyed. That's a 2-shot swing for me in my brain. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know,
yeah.
block it out of play, lay up, make bogey. It's hard to say what would be easier. I feel like the course we played today, if I played that 4 more times, I should be coming in well under par.
Yeah.
65 from the yardage we
I think I should easily be shooting 68 to 67 just
yeah.
about every single time I play there.
That's
it, 4 under. That's just birdie in the par fives, you know, throwing a couple in there also, you know, maybe if I have a bogey or two. But it's so open off the tee.
Yeah,
the greens are so big and friendly. I really do think I have a good chance of coming in after you know, 4 rounds double digits under 10
yeah.
under.
A year ago, which was the first time we filmed with you,
mm-hmm.
you were a scratch golfer
yeah.
on our channel. And you were going through, I guess, the all the stuff that you're going through.
Right.
like, would you say, Eric, you came up to me at some point during the round today and you were like, this is not the same golfer I played with.
I was shocked, dude. I don't know. Like, I was trying to, like, understand, because it's not just the difference between days. Like, proximity to the hole with almost every iron you hit, even the three wood, right? Like, I mean, you hit the green on a 260 yard par three.
And was a little unhappy about
it. Par five from 260. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm just kind of like, what happened? Why are you so much better at golf than you were last year?
I would give a lot of credit to Wesley, Brian, and George for playing with them so much. I think what they've done is made my good golf not feel so great. And what it does is I feel like it pushes you naturally to get better. I talk about George a lot and talk about Wesley because I play with them so much. And I've gotten really close with them. And just watching them hit the ball and just how good they are and what they do, it just encourage. It's just like something. When you play with somebody better, you naturally get better. And yeah, it's just like my game, definitely like my swing's gotten better. My putting's gotten better. All that is something that, you know, I've worked on and tried to get better at. But just watching them play golf has given me just like a little bit of extra confidence of like, I've beat Wesley now and I've beat George twice. The last two times I've beat George, which is very difficult for me to do. Like if I play George 10 times, I feel like I hopefully can beat him three or four times.
Yeah.
Because George is incredible, like I've said. So yeah, just beating, it's like gives you that little layer of confidence when you beat them, somebody that good.
Yeah.
Even playing with Bryson and all these tour pros, like you see what they do and I feel like it just elevates your game. And that's, it's not necessarily like I've changed so much.
Yeah.
Like maybe I've just changed mentally a little different.
That's interesting. On some level, you've done that for me.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, because even today, like,
you hit the ball really good. Like you today, the frustrating part about watching your round today is like that was me like not too long ago, because I got into golf when I was like 14, so I just remember just being so close to making a huge jump.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, you are so close because you hit so many quality golf shots today.
Yeah.
The first five holes, like the first nine holes, there is no reason you should not be at the worst two over.
Yeah.
And that's just solely the bunker shots, the chipping, a couple putts maybe, and wedges.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you're so close, and that's, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because if it's, you just get past that, it all changes.
Those, yeah, I mean, and that's where I was like, I feel like you from 150, you're going to put it inside me from off the green. You know?
Even worse than that, do you ever feel more comfortable from 140 than you do from 45?
100%.
He confessed to me in the cart that he'd rather hit a six iron than his wedge.
I'd rather be 180 than 80.
What putt was it? You hit some putt from 50 yards off the green today.
I hit a few. I made pars from those.
They
places.
Were gorgeous putts.
But whenever I grabbed my wedge, it was like I would be in a new series of problems.
There was one shot, the first or the second par five, the one where you hit the wedge shot from like 5 or 10 yards off the green into the bunker, and you could just tell. Did you know the bunker was there when you were over the ball?
On the par five, on six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even...
I wasn't thinking about it.
I didn't consider that.
I wasn't thinking about it. I mean, it was 15 feet left of the pin.
And just what I've watched, I think visually, just a couple things that I picked up on is technique. It's not necessarily, you know, your fault. It's how you address, say, a bunker shot. Because you left, like, maybe two shots. You hit a bunker shot and it just went a couple feet.
Yeah.
And you stayed in the bunker. And those shots, just getting it somewhere near the pin or making sure you have the correct technique that you know you're always going to get out, whether that's opening up the face more or learning how to properly hit a bunker shot, I think that would just save you so many shots. And like I said, the pitch shot, just too long of a backswing. And that,
yeah.
But that requires practice. And I know that word definitely probably haunts you a little bit.
I mean, I just don't really, I mean, I think the saddest part of all of this, Grant, is that I'm okay with 82.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I don't believe you. That
I don't believe you for 1 second. I don't think that's true.
Call him out, JoJo.
I don't think that's remotely true. Like you're such a better golfer than that.
Just shot 72 at Kapalua.
I did.
And you shot that, and it was a joyous experience.
Yeah, it was actually heaven, dude.
It's
it was
not really like, nice. But that's it the thing. It's like pleasant. The only reason I'm not okay with an 82 for you is because of how good you hit it.
Yeah, that's really
that's
what
where
I
it
say.
Frustrates me because yeah. It's like, wow, you had it, and it's like yeah. You just left it in the bunker, and then you hit it long, and then it's like you just added up all those shots, 100 yards and in.
15 shots probably. 15 misses that were direct like extra shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not off the tee for you. It's not approach shots. It is 100 yards and in. And that's crazy because that's such an over... That's just a statement that I always had a hard time digesting was everybody talks about, you know, when you start out golf, just practice 100 yards and in. Don't worry about the tee shots. Don't worry about anything else. Just 100 yards and in and we'll work from there.
Yeah.
And I used to not really like that statement because I'm like, you still need to be able to get in play off the tee. You can't be hitting weak slices off the tee. You're still going to play awful.
I agree.
So I always had trouble just always saying just like, whether I was helping somebody out, just go focus just on short game. It's like, you still got to work on, you know, everything else. But today with your game, I'm like 100 yards and in. Like I'm all for that statement.
Yeah. I mean, I am too, considering how.
Because you're just like, I think, you naturally just hit your driver good and everything. You're smooth. Like,
well, I think on the one hole where I made a triple, I outdrove you and I was in the middle of the fairway.
You outdrove me multiple times today.
Yeah. And I was in good position.
Yeah.
But then.
You hit it 300 yards off the tee.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good drive.
And you're hitting high draws and your misses were still in play today.
In some ways, you're most punished when you hit a good drive.
No. Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. That is the irony, right? Like, no, I mean. Yeah, maybe I'll start practicing. We should do, like, I would love to get your take on the misses from today.
Yeah.
And like, go to the range and do, like, a look at, like, hey, what are the simple things here that we can do to adjust these
Yeah, and
problems?
I would go straight to a short game area, like a pitching, like a 80-yard little pitching area, short game facility, is where I'd want to go with you immediately. Because I mean, your putting's solid.
We got one right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess exactly. We're technically on one right now.
Yeah. We're literally on around a short course.
Our solution surrounds us.
I forgot we're sitting on a golf course, you know. But
we're amongst it.
Yeah, no, I would go straight there.
Yeah.
I think I like your swing. I like your pattern. You're coming from the inside. You hit draws. It works. Would not change your iron swing. Would not change your driver swing. There's nothing technical I'm going to work on. Yeah. It would be right over there, and it'd be a 40-yard pitch shot. And getting you comfortable without.
I don't even like the sound of it.
You said that and you did win.
I don't even know what club to use.
We're going to be using wedges.
Like which one?
60, 56, yeah. Whatever it requires, but most likely just a 56 or 60.
Okay.
58, whatever you have.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Putting's solid though. Definitely speed is aggressive. but that's cool. I think that's, you know,
yeah,
go
I mean,
after it.
You made every single comebacker except for maybe one.
One of them I missed. Yeah, that hurt.
Your comeback putts are wild. They're really good.
Okay, folks. I have a beverage recommendation. Well, actually, JoJo does.
I have a beverage recommendation.
Tell us.
You recommend me recommending the recommendation.
I recommend the brand.
Yeah.
You recommend the flavor.
Well, you and I were in the same place together when we first found out about this. We were in a sauna.
We were in Finland.
Yeah, with a bunch of wonderfully naked men.
Yeah.
And they were, it was like, well, how hot are the Finnish saunas?
They're probably about 200 degrees.
Yeah, which is, to me, quite warm. And I needed a beverage. And they said, you need to try the long drink, which they call it Lonkero. And it's a,
right.
Yeah, they have like a different name for it. And it's a gin-based drink that first originated because of the 1952 Summer Games in Finland.
Interesting.
Where there was an alcohol shortage in the country. So the national government came up with a drink that enough people loved that they adopted as their national drink. And like 50 years later, it is finally available in America under the term the long drink.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I just love a beverage with a historical significance.
It's sort of you're drinking a country, drinking a story, drinking people.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're kind of lowering your glass beneath a fjord.
Yeah.
And you're tasting the raw elderberry taste.
Yeah.
of the glaciers that have eons before. They're actually quite good. They have a bunch of different flavors. I like the classic. I love the citrus. It's a little drier. And especially the kind of the zero sugar one as well. They're perfect on a golf course. We would never recommend an alcohol to you if we didn't think it was like something that tasted good and you could drink responsibly on the golf course. And they're good friends. They're going to be helping us out on the Mad Scramble Tour. So if you come to an event,
you can try it there and you can find out that it tastes better and has more flavor than High Noon or White Claw combined. And it's got more natural flavor than cut water. So thank you, Long Drink, for supporting the Mad Scramble Tour. We can't wait to see every one of you out there and try their new peach flavor, which is going to be pretty exciting. So head over to thelongdrink.com/RGC. thelongdrink.com/RGC. You're going to give them a zip code, and they are going to offer you a discount code, thelongdrink.com/RGC. Thank you for supporting the podcast and all things Random Golf Club.
What else has changed in the last year? You got married.
I got married. That was we were married before that, but that was our official, like, we got our whole families together. That was really special. That was an unbelievable day. Couldn't have gone any better. You know, you never know if it's going to rain. You never know what the weather's going to be like. You don't know what the overall experience is going to be like. It was wonderful. It was great. We did it at the Pelican Club in Jupiter, so it was on the water. But yeah, it was just so fun. Gosh, it was fun.
Did you have a guys get together before?
The day before. Just my, what do they call them? Groomsmen?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, groomsmen.
Yeah, I knew nothing about weddings before it.
Yeah.
Like nothing. I was just like learning as we... Like it was bad. Like I didn't know any of the terms.
Yeah.
Talking about weddings, like everybody knew it, but I was like, what's this? Like,
what? Yeah.
Called this? Yeah. So my groomsmen, my three of my best friends, we went out and just hung out.
No golf?
I don't know what we did. I forgot. I think we went out to dinner.
Yeah.
Went out to dinner together. And just hung out.
Yeah.
Yeah, just took it easy.
Cool.
Just wanted to spend some time with them. But yeah, it was incredible. That's what also has changed. That's a big one.
But it doesn't feel like anything's changed for you.
No.
No.
No. My wife, she's wonderful, and she's so supportive of what I do that it's just easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's never like anything difficult.
Yeah.
So that's how it should be.
Did you go on a honeymoon?
We did. We went to the Bahamas.
Did you play any golf there?
No. Did not play any golf. I promised that to her.
You played golf on your honeymoon, right? Or did you leave?
I played golf on Stewart's
honeymoon.
Are
you married right now? But you're not.
No, I'm not married.
You were married.
I was married. Stewart, when my close friend Stewart got married, he and I went on his honeymoon. He and I went on a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. As soon as the wedding was over, he and I left on a golf trip, which was a special. I mean, I flew to Australia for the wedding.
Right.
And I had arranged...
Flew to Australia for the wedding.
Yeah. And I had arranged like an incredible sequence of golf.
It was an offer he couldn't refuse.
And neither could his, you know, recent bride, you know. She understood what was going on. But yeah, we played like 8 of the best golf courses in Australia over the next like 6 days.
What's the best
days.
One in Australia? What's number one?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Have you spent a lot of time in Australia?
Well, this is a great, appropriate conversation for the... location we're at now, Cabot Citrus, feels a lot like Australia to me. I mean, there's just so much good golf there.
Yeah.
Like it's like the quality of the medium level golf is great golf here.
I gotta say, a huge majority of my audience is from Australia.
Yeah.
Which is really, really interesting, which I never thought.
Yeah, I mean, for a small country, you know, I think it's like 35 million people, there's some great golf. Per capita, but
there's gotta be right.
It's all around Melbourne. Yeah. There's so much good golf. I mean, you can go to Tasmania. You know, like the Tasmanian Devils. There's like an island there. They got like basically Bandon Dunes is down there. Like it's called Barnboogle.
Okay,
that's looks
is
just
like
this.
Officially, the number one course in Australia.
Ooh, I mean that would be Royal Melbourne probably. But yeah, you know, Royal like Melbourne. Those lists. It's like they're categorizing like how many events they've held there, exclusivity, history.
Sometimes they're written by people who say things like, all you have to do is click and subscribe.
Meanwhile, they have their own channels and whatever, and they would die to sort of trade positions with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hypocrisy that lives.
But Australia, do you know the very first RGC meetup ever? The one that you went to in Van Cortlandt was birthed in Australia.
The whole concept.
Wow.
Started in Australia, yeah, in Melbourne.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, I think we should do something in Myrtle Beach. That'd be special.
That's a great idea. We should do that.
Yeah, let's definitely do it.
I love that.
How much time we're gonna have. We vibe with you know George and Wesley, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we did a meetup at Aiken at their home course.
This is my thing I'm curious about. I wonder if people are allowed to come out and watch the tournament, because we've all posted about it. It's already got plenty of attention. Now, probably. I wonder if people are allowed to come out and spectate.
I mean, if they're not, there's even more of a reason to do something.
Because there could be.
Oh, you're saying there might be an event capacity at the tournament?
Well, no, there could just be a bunch of people that want to come out and watch.
Yeah.
But you're not playing the course that's the host site for the tournament, are you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think we might be playing TPC Myrtle Beach.
Hmm.
That might be where we're playing. Or that might be where the PGA Tour event is. I actually don't know what course I'm playing.
Yeah.
Probably should find that one out.
Yeah, you know, get a yardage book.
We'll do some. Yeah, we'll
do
some.
Who's going to caddy for you?
Oh, my buddy Henry.
Good.
Yeah, so he's caddied for me in a minor league event. We shot 69 together at Osprey Point in Boca. I filmed that whole video on YouTube. It was my first like tournament I entered on YouTube. He's my best friend. And
cool.
We just click really well, especially on the golf course. Like in a big moment like this, I want to have him just because it'd calm me down.
Yeah.
I just feel like having him there is going to be really good. But yeah, he's excited. We're both excited for it.
Yeah.
The one big thing we haven't done yet that I've always wanted to is I want y'all to be on the same team against two other people.
That's a good idea.
Or we do a scramble. We try and break a certain score together.
Yeah. I'm less into that as like you two taking two people down or trying to.
Yeah.
But.
Yo, the hustle.
The hustle? We can talk about it.
So we did a video last week. Do you know Rich Beam?
He won. I know that name. Yeah, yeah, so I know
he won the PGA
okay.
at Hazeltine.
Okay.
And he's one of the handful of people, small handful of people that have beat Tiger on Sunday. So he took the trophy out of Tiger's hands for the PGA in 2002. And Austinite, great guy. He does Sky Sports commentary. We kind of
we've adopted him.
We've become friends.
Rich Beam.
Yeah. And he wants to get into content and he's like, let's do something. So we came up with this idea where I set up a match with two people. It's a 2v2 match, and I show up and my partner doesn't. So we pick someone off the range who happens to be, in this case, Rich Beam, who's kind of not dressed like Rich Beam.
So they think he's just a random guy.
Yeah, and I'm like asking the other two. I'm like, hey, who do you think, like, should we just pick someone off the range? And
right.
I try and
oh.
like you know, like you know,
subliminal
neuro-linguistic
message,
programming. I try to get them to pick the person.
Inception.
We're like conceiving this. And so of course they're like, what about that guy? And I'm like, oh, he looks kind of weird. He's got a hoodie on and he's like got wraparounds. I don't know. And
he'd be like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it.
No, you know? he had a whole character and he pulled out his irons from the 90s. They didn't even really have grips anymore.
Yeah.
So he is like,
they think he's just some terrible player.
He's going full pool hustler.
Yeah.
You better play good.
And we played and then we did this.
This is an idea we had.
It's already happened.
We filmed this.
This has already been shot.
Yeah.
But so, it's not uploaded.
Not uploaded.
It's going on YouTube.
It's going on our channel. Yeah.
Random Golf Club.
Yeah.
And so on the ninth hole, we're on the tee box, and I said to the other group, I said, hey, would it surprise you if I told you that you've been playing against a major champion this whole time? And then it's like, this is Rich Beam, nice to meet you. And they were like, whoa. So it could be really interesting to like disguise you in some way and then play with like some specifically younger like YouTube golf fans.
Yeah. So I had that same idea for Micah. I wanted Micah to get all dressed because he hits it so far.
Right.
I want him to look like an old man. I want him to get the whole thing done and come walking out, basically like with a cane, but like just kind of limping. Say, you mind if I hit one? And then he like gets over it and then just rips it. And it's just like, And then he hands it back and kind of walks off. But I told him to do that for an Instagram like reel.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious. He needs to do that.
Yeah.
He needs to go up to people on the range and just like act like he's an old little man.
Could he do it? What does he have like the...
I think he could. I think he'd be able to pull it off. I think, well, watching, the coolest thing was watching Micah and Rory do the long drive competition. I've never seen Micah in my life do such a clean intro.
I see. Oh, when, it was when the stakes were highest.
Oh, yeah. Like, he clutched up. Like, it was him and Rory, 75 other cameras from TaylorMade, and tons of people watching. And he just does the intro with him and Rory there. And it was a big moment because it was like they were going to try and beat each other in a long drive competition. But he won, took the intro, didn't even slightly say, like, stumble over his words. And I'm just like, that was insane.
Does he struggle with the intro typically?
Well, we all like, well, we'll all usually take a couple takes.
Yeah,
we're all not great at it.
I need a few takes.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just like one take, boom. And I'm just like, okay, you need the adrenaline pump. It maybe got his brain firing quicker. But yeah, that was, I really want him to do that. But I love that creative idea like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you just got to do it until people like, because you eventually that idea becomes so, if it like works out, it becomes so popular, people are expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, but you're always able to get some people.
Yeah. I mean, you could invert it too. You could find, yeah, I don't know.
It's like when Nelk is doing pranks.
Yeah.
Like they've gotten so big that like, for me, it's like, you know, when Salim or Kyle are doing a prank, I'm always thinking the young person is going to know exactly who they are.
They know what's happening.
Right. But they usually, maybe they probably keep those ones out. Where they're like, oh, Salim. It's like, oh, it's over now. You know, the prank's over.
Yeah. All right. Those are some good ideas. I like, this has been like kind of a brainstorming session.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should just have Grant Allen every now and then and just.
Yeah. So this is how YouTube videos are created, guys.
Just come up with some ideas.
Yeah. Grant, what do you want to see on the channel? Any questions for Eric?
What do I want to see on?
On the channel? On the Random Golf Club channel? Yeah.
Man, I really like your guys. I think you stick to your breaking series with random golfers and you do the long form, go out to really nice golf courses, bring a couple guys, get to know them, and just your production's always going to speak for itself. I don't think you got to do anything crazy. But doing cool concepts like that, I mean, it just comes down to how you're going to, what's the thumbnail and title? Because you can do the coolest like idea in the whole world. Doesn't matter if the thumbnail and title aren't good. So,
that's the name of the game. If you want to get into the game, you know, people are like, I want to get into making golf content. It's like, cool, come up with a good title and thumbnail and we'll see what happens.
100%. That's all. Because like for that video, my mind goes immediately to like the thumbnail could be something really cool where it's like you coming up to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And it's like you're about to shake this random guy's hand. It's like Arrow PGA champ. And it's like random, you know, something cool where it's like,
I like that.
Market.
You know,
if like, if you have any great thumbnail or title ideas, please email Grant at randomgolfclub.com. We'll set up the
Grant
email address.
At Random Golf Club. It'll go right to JoJo. No, but yeah. No, it's just, that's a great idea. Like when I hear good ideas like that,
yeah,
I think it's really cool. Garrett and I did a 2v2 series where we just challenged the best golfers we could find.
Yeah.
So we just traveled around challenging whoever, John Daly or, you know, trying to be bigger names, well-known people. And that was always fun. But this is like that, but that's very similar, but putting a twist on it and adding a whole lot of dynamic. And
yeah, there's a reveal.
Yeah, it's just cool. Like it just keeps people, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's like the suspense of like tricking them.
Yeah.
Rich needs to walk up, you know.
Yeah. And he had a whole
really
character.
Really tight and like, oh.
Yeah. He had.
It's going to be good.
He knew
how to play the role.
I don't know about that, but he had a whole character.
I mean, he did it. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. Yeah. They didn't know.
They did not know. It's true.
Did he play good?
No.
No.
He didn't play good.
No. In fact, I naturally birdied one of the holes.
Well, that almost defeats the purpose then.
I know. It does. But it was because he brought out like some real suspect equipment.
Okay. So the
he had like a infomercial wedge that he brought out.
Yeah.
Oh, like the...
Like some shark fin wedge.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah. Like I mean, it was CG4, like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, is that even legal?
Do you remember the putter he had? He had a crazy
putter.
He did
have his putter from the 2002 PGA, which is not his current setup. He had an old driver. I mean,
does he
live
in Austin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, that's... Now, who did you challenge? Were they just completely random people?
We challenged a pro in Austin, a teaching pro named Francis, and we challenged another kid who's like a plus handicap. Like he's in his teens, but he's a really good golfer and he works at the golf course.
Okay.
The Lions.
Gotcha.
Jaden and Francis, yeah.
Jaden and Francis.
They that's, played really good.
That's incredible, dude. I just love that idea. He's hey, if you need a thumbnail, I'll send it my way. I'd
the
love
hustle.
To help you. Because you already have the video filmed. It's like, let's make
just,
it a good one.
Just need the icing, man. Just
you do.
We do. We need a lot of icing.
I mean, I'm like never worried about the production. It's always going to come out good with you guys. So it's like, you already got one thing completely down.
Some, I would say that's the harder part, but I guess the hardest part is actually the invitation. It's like the Masters. They have a great invitation.
That's true.
You know,
everyone wants to click on that.
Yeah.
The click-through rate on the Masters invitation.
100%. Should we go to the range?
Yeah. Let's.
Is there anything else to conversate over? Uh-huh. Is there anything else you want to talk about? You want to get off your chest? Anything?
No. I've had a wonderful time. And thank you guys for having me out here.
This video is going to be great. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for our video we did today, actually. That was really fun.
I can't wait to see what the course looks like on film. It was so beautiful this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's going to look so good. And we played solid.
We played okay. You played great. I played
okay. Let's go on your podcast channel.
Let's go. Yeah, we don't have one, do we?
Yeah, we have a podcast channel.
Yeah, this is going to go on the podcast channel.
Eric doesn't even know you have a podcast.
We do.
We're going to go practice.
Okay, you're going over there?
Yeah, wherever you want.